The pandemic changed workplaces in a lot of ways, including a new highlight on the role of childcare for employees. Now, a tight labor market is making things difficult, with already limited childcare resources stretched even more thin as childcare providers have a hard time hiring staff. Our next guest says there are two different realities for parents in the workforce. Some higher paid employees are getting paid childcare or even on-site childcare as part of their benefits, while many other workers are scrambling to find care for their kids. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work and you have children, what is your childcare situation like? Have you found childcare you can use? Have you made a decision to stay at home with the kids, whether you wanted to or not? Because the numbers didn't add up otherwise. If you work as a childcare provider, how are things looking in your line of work right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Eleanor Mueller is a reporter at Politico, focusing on work-related issues. She wrote about childcare in a recent piece. Eleanor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm hoping you can start by painting us a picture. You looked at kind of two different ends of this childcare at the workplace spectrum in your recent piece. Can you share what you saw from some higher paid employees?
Yeah, so higher paid employees, it works much the same way any other kind of employment benefit does in terms of healthcare and retirement. You know, full-time higher paid workers quite often have access to more robust paid leave and childcare benefits. And so when it comes to childcare, that can be anything from, you know, as you mentioned, on-site childcare, childcare credits, sometimes even like a gift card to a website like care.com. And they typically have at least 12 weeks of paid parental leave as well. So it's just all of those workers that are enjoying the benefits and reaping the benefits of higher pay and, you know, better benefits, along with that has come to, you know, increased access to paid leave and childcare.
You profiled one mom who had that kind of access, and then you went into the retail world. What kind of things did you see that for people who don't have those high-end childcare perks?
Yeah. So, I mean, on the other end of that spectrum, workers who are part-time, they're lower income, and as a result, you know, they're more likely to be not only women, but Black and Latino women. They are much less likely to have access to paid leave and child care. You know, they typically do not have any kind of paid leave. There is no federal paid leave program right now, and they also typically don't have access to child care benefits. So we talked to a woman who until recently worked at PetSmart. She had has a seven-year-old son named Mason. And the only reason she's able to swing child care is because her husband works as a barback. So they work opposite schedules. She gets home, she takes over, he leaves for work. And it's quite a different story than, you know, the on-site affordable child care that was given to this other woman who works in a corporate office, earns more and works full time.
Now, you dug into the impact of this this split in access to childcare, including the impact on poverty for those kids growing up. What did you find?
Yeah, I mean, it's intergenerational. If you don't have paid leave, if you don't have access to childcare, and simply trying to raise a family then forces you to take time out of work, to be passed over for a promotion, to be passed over for a raise. I mean, that then has ramifications that affect your earning potential for the rest of your life. And so in leaving these benefits to the whim of the private sector and allowing these, primarily white male, higher income, full-time workers to be the ones that really have the most access to these benefits, we're just widening all of these disparities in our society that COVID already exacerbated.
And you mentioned these are kind of at the whim of the market and workplaces. Congress temporarily changed some things during the pandemic. It didn't end up sticking. Can you talk us through these kind of family leave and childcare support policies that sort of came and went, it seemed like, during the pandemic?
I know. So we saw when COVID-19 hit a really renewed interest in having things like paid leave and child care guaranteed to more workers. And we saw a lot of bipartisan coming together in a way that we hadn't until now. You know, Republicans and Democrats came together to pass money for child care. They passed a temporary paid leave program that gave people paid leave related to, you know, COVID-19 or childcare disruptions related to COVID-19. But then both of those things were allowed to peter out. And a subsequent attempt by Democrats to pass those as part of their reconciliation package, which they did not need Republican votes for, also proved unsuccessful. You know, there are some moderates like Senator Joe Manchin who had some questions. And as a result, the party cut the entire thing altogether. So now we're kind of back where we started even before the pandemic, you know, despite all of this evidence that paid leave and childcare could have protected not only our workers, but our economy, we're in a position where not much has changed since before the pandemic hit.
Talking to Eleanor Mueller from Politico, looking at childcare and working families, big differences depending on the job you have over access to things like paid childcare, paid family leave, some cases on-site childcare at workplaces, and then there's everybody else. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear your experiences navigating work and childcare as a parent now or in the past. What kind of decisions did you make? Did it go easily and smoothly for you? Was it difficult? A lot of scrambling? Let us know. 800-642-1234. You can either bring up the personal side or the policy side if you think there are policies at the state or federal level that could make a difference that you'd like to see. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Eleanor, you write that access to childcare and paid leave may depend on the job you have. It also may depend on the state you live in. Since Congress didn't do things, states have done different things. What kind of variety do we see out there?
Yeah, so we have seen a lot of states basically accept that the federal government isn't going to act and that instead they should pass their own laws. I'm trying to pull up the states that have it right now. I don't remember if Wisconsin is one of them, but it is interesting because it creates, again, you know, this kind of ingrained inequality when you have workers in some states who have access to this benefit through their state legislature. California, for instance, is the state that was the first to enact its paid leave program. They've had it the longest. And then you have these other states, obviously, typically they tend to be more conservative states. And the workers who live there obviously do not have access to these benefits. And so it just is yet another tier of which this is dividing, you know, half of our workforce from the other half. And I think it could have really serious ramifications down the line as far as systemic inequality goes.
Now, one of the policies at the federal level that, again, came and went was not just things like paid leave or support for the parents themselves, but also supporting the childcare industry. I mean, pre-pandemic, we were having segments on the show talking about difficulty in a lot of communities finding safe, affordable childcare for people. Now we've got this tight labor market, and that's affecting childcare providers as well. Is there any talk at the federal level of tackling that in some way?
Yeah. So we Democrats had a proposal that, again, they wanted to pass it as part of that reconciliation package. It would have built out the childcare industry significantly. You know, we're talking billions upon billions of dollars. And now that's been scaled back to additional funding, you know, not any major reforms, but more money for childcare providers that would be part of their year-end spending package. That's something that's currently tied up in negotiations between Senate or Republicans and Democrats as far as whether or not they can come to an agreement before the year ends. But yeah, as far as childcare goes, long story short, we're looking at potentially, you know, not bad odds for a little bit more money as far as paid leave goes. I mean, from my perspective, there's not much of a path forward. I think a lot of paid leave advocates or, you know, groups that have spent and built careers advocating for paid leave have acknowledged that it's kind of a matter now of getting those people into place that once they're in office, they can then advocate to make that happen.
Eleanor Mueller is with us, labor reporter at Politico. Her recent article is "The Pandemic Has Created Two Very Different Kinds of Workplaces That Especially Matters for Women." Looking at parents in the workforce or parents who stay out of the workforce because of childcare costs and availability, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? Has it been your story in recent years trying to balance going to work and finding childcare, providing childcare, paying for said care? How did that affect your decisions? What did you do to manage that? Easy, difficult, big challenges. Are there policies you'd like to see changed if you work in childcare? Are you feeling stretched thin right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Politico reporter Eleanor Mueller about the availability of childcare for working parents. She wrote about this in a recent piece. Still time for you to share your questions, your thoughts, maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, do you feel like your employer offered enough childcare options, enough time off options for you to manage the dual responsibilities of raising kids and having that job? Did you change the amount of your employment, go from full-time to part-time, say, or to no time in order to take care of kids? Was it because of the cost of childcare? Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Maybe you're too busy managing those dual roles to call into a talk show. I don't know. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Eleanor, we hear a lot about workforce participation rates in the U.S., and this is part of the story you write, and you compare and contrast workers, especially working moms in the United States versus Europe. What kind of things did you see?
We have seen over and over again that the labor force participation rate, particularly for prime age working women, so that's the age of women who are between their 20s and retirement age, you know, the bulk of the workforce, it's much higher in European countries and other wealthy nations just because those countries have enacted laws guaranteeing their workers paid leave and childcare. So the economics of this is actually relatively clear. You know, if you do stand up these things, it will bolster your labor force participation rate, particularly that of women, and as a result, improve your GDP. So it's pretty powerful economics and pretty widely agreed upon, I think, from economists on both ends of the ideological spectrum, that if the U.S. were to, you know, do the same as the other wealthy nations, invest in paid leave and childcare, we would see serious macroeconomic payoffs.
And does this tight labor market we're in, is that something that advocates for paid leave and things like that are pointing to as they advocate for changes?
A little bit. I mean, I think there's definitely an argument to be made that with so much competition for workers, of course, employers should be offering more robust paid leave and childcare benefits. They have shown, you know, studies have shown that paid leave and childcare benefits save employers' money typically because they, one, not only allow you to retain more workers, but two, typically, right, keeping those workers on is less expensive than hiring new people. And it also improves productivity. So the proof is really, I think, in the pudding as far as what employers stand to benefit. But, you know, there are those on the other side who say that, it, you know, look, it's just too much of an investment up front. It's not something we can afford to offer. But yeah.
And you write, getting back to the higher end here, some businesses are trying to be competitive, bringing in these executives and others by providing these kind of enhanced childcare benefits. Did you see, as you talked to people about this, any sign that this was at all spilling down to lower levels of the employment spectrum? Hey, we're having a hard time finding workers. We better do something about this childcare angle.
That is a big part of this conversation is companies typically roll these out to, like you say, those white collar, higher earning professionals that they really, that they need to try hard to attract, right? And so they are ponying up accordingly, but then they don't always offer those same benefits to the lower tiers of their workforce, you know, the part-time, lower earning workers who, again, right, are disproportionately women, disproportionately people of color. So that's been something that we've seen a real push among groups like the Marshall Plan for Moms and, you know, Moms Rising, as far as working with employers to make sure that if they are offering these robust paid leave and childcare benefits, they're not just offering them to, you know, the high powered executive in the corner office, they're also offering them to their retail workers per se. And so Levi's, for example, has recently made a huge push to offer paid leave and childcare benefits, not just to their corporate employees, but also to those who work in their stores. So I think that that's something else to keep track of as we move forward, is even within the same companies, are they offering the same level of benefits to every single layer of their workforce?
Talking to labor reporter Eleanor Mueller at Politico. She focuses on work-related issues. We're looking now at working parents, access to childcare, to paid leave to take care of kids, how that's affecting the economy and the workforce. Still time for you to weigh in with your experience at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have an experience balancing a need for childcare with your working schedule, how did you navigate through that? Did you get support, you feel like, from your employer, or was it a big challenge? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Eleanor, you write in your piece on this that some of the objection at the federal level to providing or to mandating, I guess, paid time off for parents was the economic impact it could have on smaller businesses. What were some of the arguments from those, especially some of the Democrats who decided not to chase this through reconciliation?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the argument differs depending on, you know, which part of the conversation you have been a part of. But for the most part, you know, I think that, for example, moderate Democratic senators like Senator Joe Manchin, who is really pivotal in saying that, hey, this isn't a thing that I'm going to vote for as part of a larger package. He, we know, was hearing concerns from the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce, which, of course, represents employers in West Virginia. And their concern was that this would really impact companies' bottom lines, particularly that of small business employers. You know, I think they were saying that it would be difficult for employers with a smaller number of employees who are already operating on relatively narrow margins to then bring on, to then be able to pay out things like paid leave and childcare benefits. I think there is also an argument being made that, particularly with the job market as tight as it is, we would potentially be encouraging people to stay out of the workforce. And I think the economics on that is a little bit fuzzy. I think there are some signs that it would actually, as we discussed, help people stay in and even join the workforce. But that is what people who were opposing it were saying.
And we are maybe, we've got, let's go to our callers, actually. Nasra is with us in Appleton. Nasra, hi.
Hi. So I was listening, and I'm a very private person. I didn't really want to call in, but I wanted to call in just to add a little bit of information to the to what the host was talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm a single parent, woman of color, working in healthcare, and I currently rely on family members to help me who are generous enough to not charge me any for watching my children while I'm at work. Had it not been for that, I would not be able to afford childcare whatsoever. And if my family decide to move to a different state, which is something that they're thinking about, I won't be able to work because I can't afford childcare. And it would put me in a position where I might need to seek assistance from the government, which I really don't want to.
And Nasra, can I ask, you said you work in healthcare. Is your schedule predictable? I know a lot of people in healthcare work sometimes non-predictable schedules. That makes childcare even more difficult.
It is. I work for a good company that currently accommodate me because I have to go get my kids from school, and they're able to let me come in 2 hours past my schedule. But I think a part of the reason why is because they're struggling with staffing currently. And so therefore, instead of losing me, they rather accommodate me. But if it was different before the pandemic, I don't think that would be the case.
Nasra, thank you so much for sharing that experience. Eleanor, Nasra brings up something that I hadn't brought up yet. A lot of people are turning to family, and as Nasra is, really hoping family doesn't move away from them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very similar story to the former PetSmart worker who I interviewed for this story. You know, I think a lot of women who do not have access to things like paid leave and childcare through their work just lean on these people around them, and it creates this almost Jenga tower of supports by those in your network. And if you take out one of those blocks, it's just, yeah, I do not envy, you know, the position that you are in. And I think that it's really indicative of what a lot of women in the U.S. are facing as they try and juggle this without the support of, you know, their employer, their state, or their government.
Nasra, thanks a lot for that call and good luck to you. And Eleanor, Nasra brings me to a point I was going to end with anyway. She mentioned, you know, with the tight labor market in her field now, her employer is willing to be accommodating. You write that, you know, if the economy turns down, that tight labor market clears up, what benefits we have, what child care we have may be even more at risk.
We heard a lot of the same concerns around, you know, employer benefits related to abortion. There were a lot of employers that came out when Roe versus Wade was overturned and they said, hey, you know, don't worry, we will pay for you to travel potentially across state lines and get an abortion. And a lot of, you know, progressive organizations kind of warned, hey, that might sound great to those, you know, who are in favor of the ability to choose, but heads up, it's the private sector, it's capitalism, you know, they do then have the ability to reel back in these benefits if they so choose. And I think we're seeing a lot of the same concerns now over paid leave and childcare. You know, in the wake of the pandemic and in this tight labor market, a lot more employers are rolling out particularly, you know, paid leave benefits. But in the event that we do have a recession and profit margins do narrow, I think it's not unreasonable to assume that this is one of the first things that will go or that will be cut back. And we've already seen a number of employers do just that, you know, merely in preparation for what could be an economic downturn. So,
Eleanor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Eleanor Mueller, reporter at Politico, covering labor issues. We talked with her about a recent piece on childcare for working parents.